Hello, it's Ed Gamble here from the Off-Menu podcast that you're currently listening to. I am on tour now. The show is called Hot Diggity Dog. Make sure you go and get yourself a ticket. I'm probably coming to a town near you if you live in the UK and Ireland. And Ireland, Dublin and Belfast. Do go to edgamble.co.uk, buy yourself a ticket, and I'll see you for an evening of Hot Diggity Dog.
Hot Diggity Dog!
Thank you, James. Did someone order a podcast? Well, here is one of the podcasts that you've ordered. It's the Off-Menu podcast, the food podcast in which me, Ed Gamble, and that man over there, his name is...
James Acaster.
We have a special guest and we get them to pick their favourite dream starter. Not their favourite dream, their dream slash favourite starter.
Favourite dream best starter, main, dessert, side, drink.
Thank you very much for saving me there, James.
No worries.
Our guest this week is the wonderful Jamie Demetriou.
Brilliant. What an amazing comic actor, writer, performer he is. Everyone loves Jamie Demetriou, and we've got him on the podcast.
He's in loads of stuff that you would have seen, but specifically he's got his own sitcom, Stathlet's Flats.
Big hit.
Where he plays an estate agent on Channel 4. It was a fantastic series that was on last year. He didn't ask us to plug anything, but it is on All Four. You can go and watch all of those episodes on All Four, and I would go and watch it because it is very, very funny indeed. So we're going to be asking Jamie about all of his dream courses, but also, James, there's a secret ingredient, isn't there?
Yes. Now, this is the first secret ingredient that I actually like, but fair enough.
So this is normally an ingredient that neither me or James like, and we tell you what it is in the intro, and then if the guest mentions it during the podcast, they are kicked out and banned from the restaurant forever, James.
That is true. Now, I might be kicked out the restaurant myself, because I love marzipan, and that's what it is this week.
Marzipan, as far as I'm concerned, can rot in hell.
I'm a Marzi fan.
Right, I'm almost... Because that pun's so good, I'm almost now on board with marzipan.
Yeah, yeah.
But not fully, because it tastes like piss.
Oh, come on, mate. Well, listen, we'll see if Jamie Demetriou likes it or not. He might say that he wants it, he might say that he doesn't. And if he says he doesn't, he's allowed to stay in. And do you know what, Ed? If he says that he does want it, I'll be kicked out with him. Well, I love it so much.
We can't have the genie leave the restaurant.
Wow. You shouldn't have been such a bully.
If the guest and the genie leave the restaurant, then it's just going to be me, a sad man with no powers, sat in an empty room.
Eating the scraps.
Yeah, with little Benito in the corner recording it all.
Well, let's see what happens. So, let's start this episode. Here we go!
Hey, with Jamie Demetriou. Hello, Jamie.
Oh, yes. Hi.
Hello.
I'm shocked. I thought I was just here having some dinner on my own.
No, you're in the dream restaurant, and that sound effect means that the genie waiter has appeared.
Ah. Hello, welcome. Welcome to the restaurant, Jamie.
Thanks, man.
Good to see you. I've been sitting in my lamp anticipating your arrival.
Oh, and I didn't know that you guys would be here, so...
Oh, you were just...
You've just wandered in.
Well, I'd like to dine for one. And, well, I mean, usually a genie pops up. It's just not necessarily one I already respect on the comedy circuit.
That's what happens sometimes. You just found this place on timeout?
That is generally where I get my bits and pieces.
Zagats?
Yeah. I've actually discovered any music, not Zagats. Yeah. I don't think I've ever heard that said out loud.
Yeah, I only ever see that written down. Is it Zagats or Zagats?
I thought it was an acronym. Like, like zesty
and great
and turn around because there's a genie behind you.
Yeah. And great genie. That could be
and great exactly. Yeah,
zesty and great genie at tomorrow's stew.
Yeah. Well, welcome to the restaurant that you found on the Great Stew Genie website.
Yeah.
Thank you again.
Did your father come?
No, just a wander from Haggerston. It was City Mapper measured it as a wander.
How far are you travelling for most meals?
Well, in that area, there's lots of nice things being fried and chopped. So not that far often, but abroad is usually where the most exciting meals are going on. No,
sure,
yeah, no,
I think. it's the number one thing for a holiday reason for me.
I completely agree with you.
Yes. Yeah. Follow your belly. That's what I do.
Yeah.
Going on holiday? Let the belly pick it.
That's a good tip. That's a very good tip.
What's your favourite country to go and eat in?
It's just all of the Americas.
Yes.
I reckon.
Yes.
Really, I don't think it's objectively where the best food is, but I think I spent, well, one spends so much of their childhood watching food on telly, and all telly's in America, that you just want to find it. Like pizza in Friends, and I don't think, Willy Wonka was in London, wasn't he?
Where was Willy Wonka? That's a good question.
Yeah, he was, but then in the films he's not. Well, in the first film that we watched as kids.
Right.
Isn't that in America? Oh, no.
No,
it's
in
England.
It's in England, I'm sure.
It feels American because Gene Wilder.
Because the buckets are English, aren't they?
Yes, yeah, you don't get an American bucket, do you?
You know, they call it the troughs. They have to change the name for the American book. In England, I think. But I know what you mean. You see so much American food and delicious-looking food on television.
Yeah, but the candies and stuff. I mean, American chocolate is hell to me.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
Is that agreed?
I think that's unanimous.
But how is it not unanimous among them? Is it one of those things where, I mean, everybody will automatically assume that, it's just what you're used to. But I feel like if you were to slide a little Cadbury square towards someone who's enjoying a bomb-hole Hershey's, it would be embarrassing to be like, oh, that Cadbury's is disgusting, but can I have the rest of it?
Yes.
Yeah.
I agree. I don't see how anyone could eat Hershey's and not decide that Cadbury's is way better if you have
I haven't even met an American person who would actually disagree with that. I think a lot of them say, like, almost apologise for their chocolate a lot of the time. Although some places, you know, Ed knows that I love Trader Joe's because Ed told me about it in the first place. But I like the chocolate in there.
Yeah, Trader Joe's has got
stuff. They do those little boxes of little chocolate balls that are nice.
I've not had those ones.
Chocolate balls are nice. My favourite are the almonds covered in sea salt and turbinado sugar and dark chocolate.
Turbinado?
Turbinado sugar.
Fast sugar.
It's like a super fast sugar. You've got to get there early to catch the nuts because they run very fast. but yeah, they're just like salty and really sweet and covered in dark chocolate, and they're the best.
Amazing. But I think I spent a lot of my childhood not being able to enjoy chocolate because of the sort of stuff that was brought into my house.
Right.
My dad's Greek, and they tend to come up the left-hand side of nice stuff a lot of the time because of the sort of place. Like, if I wanted a chocolate cake for my birthday, my dad would be like, here you go, chocolate cake, and it would just be brown cake. it's brown, it's chocolate, and then you're on top, you'd be like... And then, but just all the things that you want it to be, there'd be a sort of replacement. So like a sort of very, you know, when you put honey in the fridge and it sort of crusts over don't get to enjoy the smoothness. So it'd be a sort of brown coloured, flavourless cake that is just the definitive, it's just cake. That's the flavour is cake. Yeah. And in the middle would be sort of some crunchy honey, but not honeycomb crunchy, like cold crunchy. Yeah. and just sort of with a smash. But and then the candles would have been in it too long, and the wax would have sort of been chipped, not melted onto it, but sort of chipped over time because he would have prepared it in the morning. And you're like, this is only just food now.
So it's like it's like a prop of a cake.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I'd probably pass a prop cake and ask for a slice of that in comparison. But yeah, so I have an odd relationship with chocolate. Now I think just generally with all food, I should also add that my dad's a chef.
Absolutely no excuse for that awful cake.
Huge reveal. But is that classic thing of not wanting to do what you do at work when you get home?
Right.
But not acknowledging it. You don't ever hear a chef going, I'm going to cook shit stuff tonight. They go, they're like, no, it is as good, but they just don't put in as much
just
effort.
Something easier.
I mean,
because it's only for the people he loves. He's not going to bother.
It's
who he loves most in the world.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen some hell. And just, I mean, this, but also, but in talking about the people he loves, that includes himself. I mean, I've seen him push himself through some bad shit for the sake of not having to put in any effort. I once saw him, I've got this vivid memory. I was like 14. I remember being sat in the living room on a weekend watching TV and I was eating an orange or something. And he came in with a metal tray, and on it was a pile of chicken bones with nothing on them, no meat on them, like about 6 garlic cloves, a raw onion, some very, very flaky chilies, just like unpickled.
Yeah.
And he just sort of sat down and started, he went, oh, what are you eating? I was like, an orange. And he was like, huh, and just started tucking into this stuff, popping the garlic in. And like, he bit into an onion, and I was like, all right, what are you doing? And he was like, what? Do you think it's bad because it's an onion? This is not an onion, it's an apple. And Cyprus onions burn your heart. I'm like, okay, continue. And then started crunching through the bones. And the weirdest part was that when I peeled the orange, I'd left the peel on the side, and I saw him eyeing it up. And he was like, you gonna eat that? And I was like, what day is this for you? I know you eat weird stuff, but I'd never seen you. Why have you just suddenly decided to do this today? So, yeah.
Whereabouts is he a chef?
He was pretty good. I mean, he's quite old now. Yeah. He's nearly 80. So he was a very successful chef up until I was born.
Right.
And then he was about 50-odd... and decided he didn't want to do the long evening hours.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, he'd been doing it for years. He started when he was like 19. He had to have his knees replaced because he spent so long standing over a hob.
Did he eat his old knees?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like the placenta. It's a traditional chef thing. You get all your staff from over the years together.
Yeah. You all eat the knees. Ceremonial things.
Cheers in his own knees or something. A little hollow clip-clop sound like two coconuts for a horse. Good on him.
Yeah. But that's insane. By the time I was like 10, I think he'd bought a Greasy Spoon cafe in Queen's Park, so he spent most of the time doing that. Cafe 3-star, it was called.
Oh, that was in his words. Name.
But you've got to be honest about these things.
Good on him.
But I mean, it was called that when he bought it, and we were like, change it to anything else.
Cafe 4-star.
Like, no, this is very nice, actually. Stars in the sky.
See, like Orion's belt and stuff like that. Nice, isn't it?
You picture the pattern for yourself in what order they're in. But before that, he was cooking. He was an assistant to the first ever celebrity chef, a guy called Robert Carrier.
Okay.
He was like the first guy to do sort of Ainsley Harrier-esque cooking on TV, and he was like the little Greek guy in the background shitting himself and wondering what a camera was.
With a plate full of chicken bones.
Yeah.
Can't serve that up again. The chicken bones again. Let's start you off with some water. Do you want some still or sparkling water?
It's a night out, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sparkling.
Splashing out.
I get tap water whenever I want at home.
Well, it's not tap. It would be still.
Oh, it can be. Well, it could be. Could it not
bottled
be tap?
Still.
You could have tap. You could have bottled still. You could have sparkling.
I will generally go for a tap.
Uh-huh.
But as we're dreaming,
yeah,
sparkling, I can afford it tonight.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. You can afford it tonight.
What is an amount that you wouldn't spend on sparkling water?
Good question.
That is a good question.
And we're talking a tall bottle, not a handheld.
Yeah,
a tall
not
bottle.
That you can't handhold a tall bottle, but comfortably.
Sure, yeah.
That's extravagant.
We're talking a two-hander, not a one-hander.
I would probably...
How much would you expect to pay, first off?
See, I'd never really get sparkling water, so I don't know. Like, I'd always just go tap water, because it feels like a waste of money getting any fancy water.
I'd expect, like, £3 or something.
It is mad, that, isn't it?
Yeah, it's mad.
But I would agree. I was picturing... I've seen of late a sort of £4. That feels like the general going rate for a bottle of water with bubbles in it.
Five is probably a tipping point, isn't it? A fiver.
That's when you start. Yeah,
you can give me a note and you won't get anything back from that.
Right. Yeah.
That would be too much for bubbly water.
Because tap, still, and sparkling is basically it's all the same.
It's all the same stuff,
isn't it?
Yeah.
They've got the same traits.
I would definitely not pay £6, £5. It depends what day you catch me on.
That's a weekend. That's a weekend price.
Yeah.
If I'm also who I'm with, if it's a date, you know, you don't want to turn down any. You know, you're going, no, I'm not paying £5 for the water, because then that really sets you up as I'm going to be this guy.
But what if it is £5? You say I'm not paying £5. I'm paying £6.
I'll just show off.
Yeah,
£6.
You got any £6 stuff?
Yeah, I got any £6 water.
Yeah,
can I try it, please? Exactly.
I'm big time going sparkling.
Do it.
Yeah.
Pop-ons or bread?
Christ.
Pop-ons or bread, Jamie?
Now this is where I'm starting to wish it was just me.
What I enjoyed about that is, I know for a fact Jamie's heard the podcast before, so James did it as loud and as quickly as possible to try and catch you off guard, and it worked.
It really did.
I deliberately did not ramp up to it in any way. I made sure I jumped in there when we were mid-sentence. And for the listener, he shat himself.
I'm going to hold my hands up. Took me by surprise as well.
Yeah, Evan got a bit scared on that one. My finest one yet, actually.
The huge reveal as well is the back legs of my chair are tipping off the edge of a stage that we're sat on.
Oh, yeah, we're sat on this stage.
And behind that is a window that might be open.
That could have gone badly. We've been looking at you going, well, at least we've got that good story about his dad. At least we got that off of
him. Would you put it out? Would you put this out?
Absolutely.
Yeah. If I'd fallen out a window.
That'd be the next episode.
Have to.
It'd be sort of Jonathan Ross, Russell Brand, Saxgate.
Yeah, it would be exactly like that.
It's neither of you working for the podcast again? They just replaced it. With Acast, yeah. There's no way you're not working for Acast.
I know, you'd think so.
Yeah.
I can't believe they didn't ask for permission before launching the... Should have taken them to court when they signed it.
Wait, so what was the question?
Problems with bread.
You could have shot me again. No, but we knew what you were doing. I wanted to be in charge of it for a second in my life. I mean, don't get me wrong, a poppadom is almost too exciting an experience to top a meal for my liking. And also, I can't do a curry anymore. I've got stomachy stuff.
Right.
Okay. Not pooey per se, more ulcery, acidy. Yeah.
Oh.
And that's worse because at least a poo is satisfying, right?
Right, yeah, exactly. It's like, but that's, you know, that's the giggle you get. It's like, oh, tomorrow it's going to be hard. Yeah, it's like, for me, it's like, oh, I'm going to die.
Oh, it's going to be really painful.
Yeah. I have a problem with curry culture as well off the back of it, and that whole like, turning up and being people like, oh, what do you reckon you're going to have? And I'm like, oh, I'm going to probably going to have a korma. And they're like, oh, you're an arsehole.
Yeah.
Why don't you have a thing that I think is really fun, nice and fun? I'm like, oh, because it would be agony for me. And they're like, have a vindaloo, have one anyway. Why don't you want the thing that I enjoy in your mouth?
Yeah. Like, I agree. It's a bit laddie, isn't it? And a bit.
Well, but laddie's fine. Oh, God, I'm a lad, mate. Please. I love it. But I am, it is a
stressful... You're having a
korma,
mate.
I wanted to lure you into making me feel bad, actually. I enjoy it as a lad. But yeah, I poppadoms to me, when I have one, it makes me think, oh, I might be about to have a curry, which I'm just never really doing
so
anymore.
So it's like a horrible sense memory.
So, that's a long exhale.
Yeah,
so,
and also it could have been any of us. I've learned that recently with recording. An exhale or a tss, that you can confuse people. That could have been Ed.
Oh yeah, you should probably think about that. Future episodes, can make whatever noise I want, like a random noise.
Yeah, but I'd just let everyone know that exhale was Jamie.
All right. Yeah. Fair enough.
Jamie
fair
did
cool,
do that.
Fair yeah. cool. But it's also stealing curry from someone who works in comedy is. I think if you were to say what like. On the comedy, when I go to Edinburgh or any comedy festival, curry is the thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a sort of a slog of a meal where everyone sort of like takes the giggles they've had for today and shares them with everyone over a chutney.
Yeah.
You know, it's not too expensive, but it is a treat. There's a banquet going on.
They're open late as well, crucially.
Yeah, there you go.
See, I'm not. I enjoy curry now and again, but I'm not as obsessed with curry as some people. I don't think. I find that it's too much food. You end up too full. Diabetically, it's a very difficult thing to handle.
Right.
Like I'll see the effects on my blood sugar levels for the next sort of 24 hours if
really?
I have a curry.
Really? Is it a sugary number, a curry?
It's high carb and high fat, which is a brutal combination because it slows the absorption of the carbohydrates. So it's just...
And that's podcasting.
Welcome to the podcast.
Here comes the science.
Yeah.
You could say that before.
But I do enjoy the flavours, but I just think it's too much. I think the British twist we've added to Indian food is that we've just doubled the volume.
Right.
I just think it's a bit heavy.
Mm.
I see you. Yeah. Well, we're together then in that.
Yeah.
But in that, so my answer to that is bread. My very long answer to that is bread. And it's bread. There's my favourite restaurant in London is a restaurant called Pigeon. And it is the bread there is on another planet. It's
Where's
good.
Pigeon?
It's Wilton Way.
Okay.
I think it's closer to it's a Hackney restaurant.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like a potato bread.
Okay.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It comes with a like a brown butter with some salt on top. Oh. And it's not the most expensive of the treat restaurants.
Yeah.
But annoyingly, and it's all great. They change the menu every week, but no matter who I take, they're always like the best part of that was the bread. And it's no disrespect to the rest of the cooking. The bread is just unbelievably memorable.
Great.
But what I'm also saying about the bread is I want an even number of pieces because having to cut one in half is hell on earth.
Yeah.
I don't want that moment where you're sort of cutting in half and both people are eyeing up sort of who's got the bigger half. I don't want to have to go through that when I'm trying to enjoy
a
meal.
You can have your own plate of bread. You can each get.
Oh, fantasizing.
Yeah.
Shit.
Also, cutting bread, if you're going to share it, isn't good. If you're the cutter, you've got to steady the bread roll with your hand, which means that's the bit
that's your bit.
Right.
So, whether you like it or not.
I mean.
And you have to appear generous.
And you're talking, but this is from a hygienic point of view.
Yeah.
Right.
I guess you're taking people to this place that.
I think it's an honor to take to have the finger bread.
It's fine. Let's move on to your starter. We'll get into the main bulk of it now.
I found this very stressful thinking of this list, actually.
Yes, good.
Have you two got your lists?
I wouldn't be able to do it.
You wouldn't be able
to? That'd be impossible. It's a ridiculous thing to ask of someone. I think it's unfair.
One day we will.
Yeah.
I think one day we will.
Yeah, one day we're going to have to. You got to, you can't make other people do it.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, you know, there's been a few episodes where like, something someone said has reminded me of something that I really like, and I thought, oh, that might be on my list, actually.
Right.
But
I think, I won't reveal what it is, but I think we might have the same dessert.
Yes.
You're not going to reveal what it is.
Not here and right now.
We'll make my episode a special episode.
We'll tell you after.
Give people a reason to listen to my episode. No one knows who I am.
I'm going to push you out the window later, mate. So I think it'll be pretty special.
I'm going to start by saying I think the starter is often the best course.
Right.
Well, I'm with you on that.
Yeah, Ed is a big old starter.
I'm a starter boy.
It gives people room to experiment and have a good time because it's not a huge amount of commitment.
Yeah.
It's a little
portions.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Lovely stuff. But as I thought so hard about it and felt so bad for all the stuff I'm leaving out that I've gone very basic for just a food stuff that I love, and that is pickles or gherkins.
Mm.
I'm a fanatic, and specifically a sort of American deli pickle that's like half...
Like a dill pickle sort
of
thing.
Have you been to... I mean, it's I feel like it's like saying, have you been to Big Ben? have you been to Katz's in New York?
Yes.
Yeah.
The pickles there are...
Yeah, incredible.
Yeah.
They're another universe. Yeah. They just come with... I remember the first time I went, I saw that someone had this whole plate of pickles next to their sandwich, and I was very Britishly being like, and how do I... I can't see the pickles on the menu. How do I get those? And they just didn't say anything in return, and then they just arrived with my sandwich, and I just... I almost couldn't eat them because my fists were so clenched with happiness. just bobbing for pickles on the plate.
Absolutely amazing.
I stayed on the same... Last time I was in New York, I stayed on the same street as Katz's.
Really?
And, open late as well, so like obviously in the daytime you can't move, it takes ages to get in there. Going in there in the evening was a joy, although I didn't go in there, I just went in there and I mean, it won't surprise anyone who listens to the podcast regularly, but I just went in there and just got some cherry pie. That's what I went in
there.
Did you? Yeah,
really?
Just went in there and got some dessert pie.
Who took you to Katz's for the first time, James?
Ed Gamble took me to the Katz's for the first time.
Really? Ruben?
Ruben with pastrami.
Right.
Is what I do.
You don't do a mix-up?
I don't do a mix-up. Just Reuben with pastrami, plate of pickles, a pint of that, the specific beer that Brooklyn Brewery do for them.
Oh, yeah, lovely
so
stuff.
So good.
Celery soda is what I get there.
Oh,
it's
nice.
It's like a celery soda.
Oh,
it doesn't taste like celery. And in fact, you can get... Have you been to Monty's?
I don't think I have.
Oh,
no.
My God. I'm so happy to introduce you to this. Katz's is basically in London in the form of Monty's.
Oh, my God.
It's a place in Hoxton, and the Reubens are unbelievable, and they do all the same sort of drinks and stuff.
Oh, great.
It's so good.
We're going.
Yeah, we're going there.
Absolutely.
Put it on the list.
There's actually, I think there's like a few now. It's become I think they've just opened up a couple more around. It's really good.
I'm not on board anymore then. If they've branched out, I only go to exclusive spots.
Yeah, you're right.
So you would like pickles from Katz's Deli.
I think that's what I'm having. There were a few second options that I just want to bring up. There's a brisket roll at Smokehouse in Canterbury, which is around the corner from here.
Yeah.
That's a starter. And it has this, there's a mayo, it's gochujang mayo, which is okay. Like a spicy mayo.
It's like a Korean chili paste.
Yeah, it's like,
isn't
yeah, it? It's yeah. like a chili bean yeah. paste. I don't know. Fermented. But it's, I mean, that is on another planet of deliciousness.
That sounds amazing.
But I
as
feel
well.
Like it might be a slight clash with one of my mains. So I'm just going to stick clever. To the pickles and enjoy myself with
can
those.
Respect that.
And just allow the sparkling water to just dissolve any brine. Although I'll go for the brine. At uni, I'm a briner, yeah. At uni, people used to be like, you know, if you give Jamie a tenner, he'll down a jar of brine. And I'd be like, well, I mean, I'm... Yeah, yeah, but oh God, don't make me do that, you know? Oh, you nasty sods.
Judging
and then like, they leave and I'm finishing it off.
Barely, you spent the first 5 minutes of this podcast going, oh, my dad's a weirdo, he ate a whole onion. And literally 5 minutes later, you're going, yeah, I'll down a jar of brine, I don't give a shit.
I'll pretend that I'm doing it for money reasons, but actually.
You're right, and actually it was me with the bones and everything.
Yeah, it was you, your dad. Don't leave any food near Jamie.
Yes, my dad's a very safe eater. Yeah.
Rummaging for the bins like a fox. You know the Pleasance in London?
Yeah.
And there's that pub that's at the bottom of the stairs.
Mm-hmm.
And they do food there.
Mm.
And for a while, they did basically deep-fried pickles.
Great. I love fried pickles.
Oh, yeah. So good.
And I used to have them often when I went there, even though it would... Because the problem with deep-fried pickles is you bite into them and they're so full of juice.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just the temperature of lava.
Yes.
Yeah. And it... really hurt me every single time, and I kept on getting it because like I liked the taste of it so much, but it was a really unpleasant experience.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, yeah. And you get the fat and the fat as well. It's like it's like the fat and the water from the pickle are encouraging each other to be hot.
Yes. Be hot.
No, you be okay. We're both hot. Great.
Blue cheese dip with that.
I can't remember what dip it was.
I wouldn't say no to that though.
Yeah, that's what they do at Meat Liquor. I know you're not a fan, James, but
you're not a fan of Meat Liquor.
No,
I went to Meat Liquor once and I just thought it was too dark. Thematically, like I mean, likewise.
Definitely, no matter what your opinion on Meat Liquor's food is, I think everyone would agree they don't need to make it feel like you've joined a satanic cult when you go in there.
Yeah,
it's once I was in there and a lady came up to me and literally was pointing at the decor and she went, "Do you approve of this?" I didn't know her. She was like, "Do you approve of all this?" I was like, "Well, no, not really." She's like, "What's that meant to be?" I went, "I think that's like a goat's head and like some blood coming out of the goat's head." She's like, "Well, who's putting that on there? Well, why is that there?"
I'm actually on board with all that.
Yeah, you like all that.
I always feel like...
That's what his tattoos look like. The same person who does his tattoos is the person who does the interior design.
They're all Meat Liquor tattoos.
That is such a specific request.
Yeah.
I need to find that guy for my body.
He's a Meat Liquor guy.
I've got a big fried pickle up my right leg.
I bet if you were to turn the lights up, it would just sort of look very... And it's like a sort of swimming pool foyer or something.
Yeah.
Very sterile and sort of fine.
It's like a night... Yeah, if you see a nightclub with the lights on, it feels really bleak. Oh,
and horrible. Suddenly all your tattoos don't make sense anymore.
Yeah, I'm like, oh God.
I tell you what as well, nightclub, you turn the lights on, the sweat smell increases.
Not sure that's true.
I'm going to stand by that. You can smell the sweat more when the lights are on.
How hot are these lights that they're bringing out?
Yeah, well, exactly. Stenches. But, you know, in the dark, I don't notice it as much. You turn the lights on, like, this place stinks of sweat.
I think I know what you mean, actually.
So you're a briner. You like a bit of brine.
Oh, I'm hitting
pickle back...
I wouldn't do a pickleback because I think it would, the combination of, I shouldn't be having brine anyway for the acid probs. So combining whiskey with that is like putting a gun in my mouth.
Yeah. So what is that, just to refresh me?
A shot of brine and a shot of whiskey or bourbon specifically, I think you would
do. You can buy like brine as pickleback. You can buy it in like the spirit section of a supermarket now.
What, like just the
like
brine
a bottle
that you would
of brine.
Use?
And it's effectively just like... like Miss Hamisha pickle brine, but they're selling it in a fancy bottle for like £8.
I would buy that.
Yeah.
You're making £2 out of that, right?
Yeah. So exactly. Fine. Yeah, he's done the whole thing.
Well, I'm an investor in the Miss Hamisha pickle universe.
Yeah, so it's like a brine chaser.
Right, okay.
Yes. Yeah,
I don't think I would do that.
It's actually delicious.
I don't know who was asking me.
It's a salty shot. It's a salty shot.
You liked it?
I like it, yeah. Did one in Bodine's once.
Oh, really?
Bodine's do it.
Oh, a burnt end in Bodine's is a thing to behold, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot.
we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Today's episode of Off Menu is sponsored by Aura. James, are you ready to win Mother's Day?
I am, Ed. I want to cement my reputation as the best gift giver in the family. I'm going to give my mom an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
May I say, James, I absolutely love the class and elegance with which you use the word mom, because this is for US listeners.
All of your moms deserve a good Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
Yeah, I think your mum's going to love looking back on your childhood memories, seeing what you're up to today, seeing what you were up to back in the day, and even better, with unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, you can keep updating mom's frame with new photos, so it's the gift that keeps on giving, James.
Ed, answer me this. Who is the best gift giver in your life?
I'd probably say my wife is a very good gift giver. Not that my mom is not a fantastic gift giver, but yes. My wife's very good at little surprise things. She says, I've only got you a few things, and then there'll be little surprises, things that we've seen throughout the rest of the year. I'll say to my wife, I like that, and then I forget about it, and then on the day, there's some lovely little gifts there for me that remind us of the year that we've just spent together.
Oh, if you like being reminded of stuff, may I suggest photographs?
That's a very good point, James. I think we should get ourselves an Aura digital picture frame and put some of our wedding photos on them.
Right now, Ed, Aura has a great deal for Mom's Day, Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AURAframes.com. Use code OFFMENU at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
We're going to his main course now, and I get the feeling that we're maybe going to get some beef in this main course, because you nodded to it earlier.
Yes, yeah, oh, I've been dropping clues everywhere. The callbacks are going to alarm.
The amount of foreshadowing in this episode is amazing. It's an Edgar Wright film.
Yeah. One of my courses is going to be eaten while dangling out of a window. Yeah. Just, I'm nowhere near a window, it was just a reference to that at the beginning. Are we doing Maine?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is another foreign delicacy from the States. Again, I just love what they've got to offer over there. I mean, don't get me wrong. London's food scene is wonderful. I want to just doff my hat to that.
Yeah.
But have you been to Pine and Crane in LA?
No.
Oh, man alive. There's this Taiwanese place. And my friend went, oh, you're going to quite like this place. And as you do with things like that, you're like, no, I won't.
Who knows more about food? I think it's me.
Any recommendation is always met with an immediate no.
Yeah, sure.
Watch this film. Why? Yeah. No way. I'll watch the films that I choose, thank you. But it's a Taiwanese place, and it just is everything I want that sort of food to be. I kind of feel like there aren't that many Chinese or Taiwanese. I love Chinese and Taiwanese food so much, but I feel like there aren't that many restaurants in London that really get me going on that side of things.
Yeah, I've certainly the best ones that have taken it to the next level have been in America. So we went to an amazing place in New York called Kings County Imperial a Szechuan-y, but like...
Ooh, where's that?
It's in Brooklyn.
Oh, nice.
Ed was very clever about it. Ed booked it and did not tell us that Szechuan stuff is meant to make your mouth numb. and stuff.
Right.
But he deliberately didn't tell us it was going to be fun for him. Yeah. Right. And it was fun. It was like fun. Me and John Robbins immediately were going, looking concerned. I'm like, does anyone else? So I thought there's something. It's New Year's Eve and yeah. I'm dying. But like, it was delicious. Makes your mouth numb. And then there's these soup dumplings.
Oh,
putting a soup dumpling up when you got a numb mouth, I just feel it burst over your numb tongue.
So good. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, come now.
So, and also New York, Mission Chinese.
I've never said that before, by the way. It felt right. wait, Mission Chinese.
Mission Chinese
I've heard
in
about
New
that.
York.
Yeah, that's, I need to do that.
They do a dish there called thrice cooked bacon.
Oh, really?
Which is incredible,
and it's sort of
like bacony pork. It's just this amazing chicken bone with like sliced like rice cake, like mochi stuff in like Szechuan pepper sauce.
Oh,
it's
wow.
incredible. But yeah, I've not had any food like that in the UK.
Yeah.
Maybe there is. Maybe we're overlooking it.
Silk Road is pretty good in Peckham. That's quite
oh,
nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Wait. Did you have a
good I was going to say, if there's any listeners who know of any really yeah. great time with these Chinese places in London, in the UK, then tweet us and let us know.
I think what I'm talking about is, like, I'm sure there's some really nice, authentic places in the UK, but yeah. I think I'm talking about, like, swish hipster places.
Oh, there's, yeah. Swish hipster, yeah. I think there aren't that many. There are loads of, like, upmarket, like, XU.
That's
like my
favorite.
That's in my top five in London.
Yeah, that's amazing.
That's a Taiwanese restaurant. Place. But it's incredible, but it's like a special night out. It's not just like a... Yeah.
Well, there's something, like, I would say Tao Tao Zhu for me on in Chinatown. It's like a really good Chinese place.
Yeah.
And I love it.
I think I just haven't experimented enough.
I think I'm the same.
The Wasabi King prawns. Shout out to the Wasabi King prawns. They're so good. They're clearing nostrils out. I absolutely love them.
That's the main. They sell them in boots.
He sticks them up his nose.
They're by Vicks in boots.
Yeah. I love that feeling of wasabi just going up your nose.
Oh, yeah. A wasabi peanut is a lovely, lovely thing.
I used to think it was quite funny in a pub if you got like a little half pint glass of wasabi peas.
Right.
To down the whole thing like it was a pint of beer.
Yeah.
And I did that, and it's like crunch them all down, and then it used to be really bad. I'd have to run to the toilet. And
how many times did you do that?
A couple.
Always with friends?
Always. Well, I don't know. I'm not friends with them anymore. They probably won't hang out with me in public anymore.
Came back from the toilet. They were all gone.
Yeah. Not another group of friends. I'm beginning to see why now.
Oh, but also, shout out also to the Vietnamese Strip near my flat in Hoxton. Uh-huh. Really, really good. Yeah. Loads of good places there. Bun, bun, bun. And yeah. Faux House, already nice. Boy, I haven't even said the thing.
Yeah, sorry. So Pine and Crane.
It's my fault. I'm sort of doing excuses on the end.
No, we are kindred spirits. That's what I'm picking up. I'm three kindred spirits here. if we talk about any food, we have to go on for ages.
Oh, God. Pine and Crane, really nice. So I'm going there and I'm having, they do a bowl of noodles called Dan Dan noodles, mm-hmm. which is just noodles in a peanutty sauce with cucumbers finely sliced on top and some peanuts in just a nice soy saucy, like very, very mildly spicy sauce. And it's just fresh heaven.
Right.
And it's not expensive. It's really like, that's like... You know when you buy something these days for about £9 from a restaurant that's really nice and you get a full meal out of it? It's unbelievable. So I ordered that and a load of sides, one of which is a beef roll, which is like a duck pancake, but the pancake's really thick and the beef is like long, long thin slices with hoisin and cucumber. Oh. And it is, it's so fresh and good.
Yeah.
I feel like you're expecting there to be a sort of battered gherkin-esque quantity of oil that's going to explode with something like that, but it just goes in clean, boy. and then some pot stickers with that as well. They do really nice pork pot stickers with aubergine in them. I'm a big aubergine boy.
Yeah.
And then a plate of these pea shoots, just get that green flowing. The sort of food equivalent.
So hold
of
on,
water.
is this one meal you can order?
Because that's the kind of that's I wanted to pick something where I could have loads of shit.
A little bit.
I just want a meatloaf. At all, actually.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever had a meatloaf.
I have one once. We've talked about this on the episode.
I feel like I've heard that.
I was talking to Ed about it, but yeah, I've got a meatloaf in Cheesecake Factory.
Yeah. He went to Cheesecake Factory and ordered meatloaf.
That made me scream with laughter.
It's the stupidest thing anyone's ever done. I regret it so much. I went in there because I wanted a cheesecake, but then I felt like, oh no, I've got to be good and I've got to
order a meatloaf.
I have a main, because otherwise I can't have just pudding.
The famously
on the side.
Healthy intro to cheesecake, a meatloaf and mash.
A meatloaf, yeah. And it was so huge, and I got so full on it, and then like barely forced this cheesecake.
The last time
down.
I had anything meatloaf based was I had a meatloaf sandwich at the diner in Camden, and then I went down to the toilet and someone had done a shit on the floor.
Did they preempt your shit on the floor? Yeah. I was about to do that. Yeah. From the meatloaf. At the Cheesecake Factory, do they have a Wagamama approach to bringing stuff out? So it's like, do you mind if the cheesecake and the meatloaf comes at the same time?
Oh, yeah.
Everything just comes out when it's ready, if that's all
right. Yeah. The cheesecake is definitely already ready, so that's coming out.
Yeah. There should be some cheesecake on the table when you arrive, actually. Yeah. I'd like that. Like a restaurant where there's already, like, each table has, like, a little... like a mystery dish in the middle, and you choose your table, and then you don't know. Like in the Cheesecake Factory, there's a mystery cheesecake in the middle, and when it comes to ordering the cheesecake, you can order.
So like Deal or No Deal,
or you have it for free, the one in the middle,
or you can have that one for free in the middle.
Oh, nice,
that's quite fun, isn't it?
Like a sort of Bertie Bott's every flavour cheesecake.
Oh yeah, yeah.
A bogey.
Oh no, I've got the bogey cheesecake.
Bertie Bott's beans, either. Like I bought them for my nephews and stuff. Like, it's fun, isn't it? Fun.
But it is mad that they actually have stuck with the premise of Bertie.
One of them tastes like sick.
Yeah. It's like, oh wow, what have they done to make it actually taste like sick?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that tastes horrible. It's horrible for me.
Yeah. J.K. Rowling's sick. Unlucky. That's what she does, actually. Every year, J.K. Rowling just sick in a big bucket and then they use it for the Bertie Bott's beans.
Imagine there's a meeting that would come before that. Just sort of talking. She's like, yeah, sure. So do you want me to do it now?
Happy for it to be my sick. Absolutely happy for it to be my sick.
It's fine. It's my idea, so...
tweeting about it. It's really exciting. Here's a photo of me doing the sick.
Pouring them into the bean moulds. Me pour the sick into the bean molds.
Is that how it would work? Sicking into a bean mold. We've actually got the bean mold here, JK.
Yeah.
We might as well just do it now.
Don't worry, all I ate on the lead up to it was nice Bertie Bott's beans. So that's all you're getting. It's made in the same stuff.
So quite a high acid.
If I was her, I'd do that. I'd just eat Bertie Bott's beans and sick them up, and then they're the sick beans.
So I've made the mistake, having been to LA a couple of times, often alone. I've made the mistake of going to these sorts of restaurants and then over-ordering massively.
Right.
Would you say your main is over-ordering, or is that just the right amount of food?
That's probably enough. Do you know what? I would eat all that.
Yeah.
Because I'm in LA so rarely, it's like...
I'd over-order and eat all of it.
Right, yeah. Oh, it's definitely an over... I'd feel like terrible afterwards. Yeah. But not as bad as I'd feel if it was all bad stuff.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like... Doing this list, it was difficult because I didn't know whether to go for nostalgia or what I like now. Because there's so many things that I have such fond memories of. But when I go back to eat it, I'm like, fuck, that wasn't nice, was it, actually, ever? Look, I think Wagamama's is a great establishment. But the other day I had a katsu curry there and I haven't been there for ages.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this... It's not as nice as like a really good, like my mate, someone did me like a homemade katsu curry, which I didn't think was possible a few weeks ago. Like surely it's just like Wagamama's had the
restaurant
secret.
Food, yeah. Right, yeah.
And it was unbelievable. And I think it's because it's like, is Wagamama's, is it like, is it fresh? Is it, what is it? Is it good quality stuff? I don't know.
I think it's fine.
It's
a chain restaurant and they're, you know, they're knocking out a lot of meals a day, so they have to...
Right. It's in that world of like Pizza Express and stuff like that.
Exactly.
But it's a decent chain.
It's good,
But is a Pizza Express like a... Is it a frozen dough? I mean, I don't care.
Yeah.
I like it all.
Yeah.
But I was like, there's something about this that isn't amazing. Anyway, the point I'm making is the Pine and Crane thing is so fresh and like good quality stuff that you don't feel like shit. You just feel stupid for ordering so much.
Yeah, yeah. I think katsu curry is one of those things that's never... The first time you have a katsu curry, it blows your mind because it's so salty and delicious. Yeah. And you really love it.
You can't find why is it sweet? In what way is it sweet?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then finding one that's as good ever again is like you have to do stuff like have a homemade one or something like that or one in a really fancy one, because otherwise you just... It's never as good as that first time when you were like,
Completely. Oh,
wow, what's this?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, like your first gig.
Yeah,
like when you go and see Katsu Curry at a gig for the first time. They'd only open a show. Yeah. They.
So we got beans. We got green shoots.
Right. Yeah. So pea shoots. Oh, you're gonna have to recap this again, aren't you?
Yeah.
Like a bowl of noodles, dandan noodles, pea shoots. Pot stickers,
and the
which,
beef.
Do you know what a good pot sticker is for me? There's nothing more disappointing to me about a dumpling than when it doesn't have that nice browned side.
Yeah, you need the brown side.
Do you know what
yes,
I mean?
Absolutely.
And I feel like you very rarely get that. People usually aren't. But I think that is just me being ignorant, and that's just because that's the difference between a fried dumpling and a boiled dumpling.
Yeah, I think. But I would never order a boiled dumpling. I don't know why. I don't mind a bit of sliminess, but you have to have the fried bit as well.
Oh, for sure. But often they don't specify. Like if you're getting it as a takeaway, it'll just say dumplings, and you just got to cross your fingers for 3 hours. don't know why I've specified the amount of time.
It's a long time as well.
They've got a brown side.
Dark
side of the dumpling.
Me and my girlfriend were in Japan recently, and we just wanted gyoza, so we just wanted dumplings, and we just found the nearest place. And you just go up and sit at the bar, and there's an iPad to order on.
Right.
And you just... all they do is dumplings, and it's just by amount. So we like hit 6 dumplings, and they brought these dumplings along.
Come on.
They're absolutely incredible. So we hit 20.
Oh,
they
yes.
They brought 20 along, and then we had another 20. And
20 of the same? Or sort of
all the same. Pork and...
Really?
Yeah, just pork and like spring onion.
If it ain't broke.
Fried dumplings, just constantly hitting reorder. It was phenomenal.
Constantly on 20?
Constantly on 20.
It's amazing.
It never dropped below 20.
So wait, constant implies 6 at the very least. So you ate like 120 dumplings.
I don't know how many we ate. But all I know is there were two girls sat next to us who ate more than us.
Wow.
Whoa.
They were really going for it.
I'm surprised more places don't do that thing with the button because, like,
oh, it's brilliant.
There's one thing internet shopping has shown us is that we are kind of fine with that. Like, it feels like you're not even doing it. You're not even spending money.
Yeah.
You just press a little button, and then you've got the thing. You're not dealing with people.
There's a sushi place we went to like twice as well, 2 days in a row.
Yeah.
Like a proper conveyor belt place, but you just hit what you want on an iPad and then it zooms along to where you're sat
on
the conveyor belt, and it's so much fun.
Yeah. Ugh. And did you eat more than you needed there?
Yeah, of course. Well, I do anyway, but even more than that.
Yeah.
Because
you got to see it zoom along.
Yeah, it's lovely to see food move. Well, that's all I want. I just want to see it move.
It's like it's so fresh. It's like it's salmon leaping through the river.
You're actually catching it.
Yeah. You
catch it in your teeth like a bear. Comes the end of the thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you go down to the rivers of Japan, and they are actually just sort of sushi-esque conveyor belts.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what it is.
They're just sort of like flapping along on there. I'm so sad to... I think the my most shameful food quality, everyone has one, apparently, is I don't eat fish, any of it.
Wow.
Seafood or any of it. And I don't respect myself for it. I've tried it all.
Yeah.
My catchphrase that I tried to get going as a kid was, if it swims in the sea, it doesn't swim in Jamie D. I tried to sort of make it.
Kid.
Yeah. I'd always spin my cap as I did it and pop on some shades.
Bart Simpson character.
Yeah. But all I was doing was sort of disappointing a friend's parent when I came over.
Yeah, yeah.
I just tried to sort of make the whole situation cool. I turned on some music as I said it.
I don't think we should invite your odd friend Jamie over anymore.
Yeah,
he did that rap about not wanting what I'd cooked.
The fish fingers we were going to eat.
Always trying to take the edge off. And then I just skate around the table.
Ironically, a fish, though, skates.
So there you go. And when you eat skate, it is called skating around.
Yeah. Skating Jamie D.
Oh, it's a shame. That's a shame.
Oh, it's a huge shame. Especially, I mean, the crushing blow to my Greek family. I've got two uncles who are fishermen. I feel like you can probably, if you were to go into Cyprus, if you saw three men sort of walking around really sadly, it's because they know their nephew doesn't eat fish.
Yeah.
They sort of get up early in the morning to go for that walk to just shake it off every day, the shame of it.
Imagine your uncles only like catching like the skeletons of the fish though. Yeah. The perfect skeleton. Yeah. Take them back to your dad.
Yeah.
There we go, we caught your favourite.
Yeah. Famously, my uncles feed my dad. Yeah. We all feed our brothers, right?
Sure, yeah, that's how it works.
Yeah. Even though they're in different countries.
Yeah.
It's a very expensive habit and they don't know why they got into it.
Got another parcel of bones from Cyprus.
Yeah, but they're red snapper guys, but they just cannot get it. And all the stereotypes are pretty true.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing of being like, oh, I'm vegetarian. It's like, all right, we'll have some oxtail then.
Yeah.
Have a very obscure part of the meat.
Yeah.
I've never experienced sushi, sadly.
I've got a question for you about something that I know you've eaten and that I've seen you eat. And I wanted to know what it was like.
What?
James has been watching you for many weeks.
Yes. What was the marmalade sandwich like in Paddington 2?
Oh, right. Okay. Well,
because you made it look really nice.
Do you know what? It was
you've eaten a Paddington
surprisingly
sandwich.
Phenomenal. I mean, they were.
Did it actually have marmalade in it?
Yeah.
So you made
yeah.
a proper marmalade sandwich
yeah.
for you?
Yeah. I tell you what, it was such a relief as well because. I mean, by the way, for any listeners, you won't know I'm in Paddington because I'm in it for 1 second. But I played a prisoner in that, and there's a scene where so the prisoners are livid because they have to eat gruel all the time.
Yep.
And I mean, as authentic as they wanted to make the marmalade delicious, they made the gruel disgusting.
Right.
It was like a quinoa, a cold, sludgy quinoa porridge with like bits that you couldn't identify in it. Yeah. But we had to eat it because like, there were like loads of close-ups where all they wanted to get was like you eating the food.
Eating some gruel, yeah.
And like there's a few scenes where I'm sat next to Paddington. I got a two-shot with Paddington. but yeah, so the gruel was like disgusting. And then the scene comes where Paddington makes everyone sandwiches.
Yeah.
And they're fucking nice.
Yeah.
Can we swear on this?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was
especially
the perfect
about Paddington
marmalade.
Sandwiches.
I'm actually really happy to hear this.
A certain
that
like
that the Paddington sandwiches are as nice. As
James,
they should
I'm
be.
Just gonna, I've got a st- I'm call, I calling
I know,
bullshit
I know, I know
on this.
I know I'm in trouble.
Why?
This is such a massive turnaround for you.
Yes.
For years, James refused to watch the Paddington films.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Well, the first one, and then because he thought the bear was weird and creepy.
No, shifty and creepy.
Shifty
little
and
shifty
creepy.
Shifty eyes and creepy.
And I was like, mate,
you've got to
watch Paddington. It's a fucking brilliant film.
Yeah.
He was like, no, absolutely not. The bear's shifty and creepy. I hate that bear.
Yeah, that's what I said. And I'll stand by it.
You don't stand by it because then you went and watched. Have you seen the first
shifty
one?
Shifty and
yeah,
creepy.
I watched both of them in one day over Christmas and I loved them. They were
yeah,
so
because
magical
they're like near,
so funny
near
script
perfect
was,
films.
It was amazing. Yeah. Yeah, the second one especially.
Yeah.
Oh, I loved it so much. Every single bit of it was amazing. I got over the fact that the bear is the creepiest thing in the world.
Where's the shiftiness?
His shifty eyes. His eyes are all shifty. His eyes are all shifty.
He is
looks
a
around,
very magical bear.
He looks
bear.
Around yeah. all shifty and he's just very creepy.
So I'm just I've got to call bullshit on this. You can't come out repping for Paddington suddenly.
Mm. Well, I can. Hey, this is a good thing to do in this day and age. So many people now refusing to change their opinions.
Right.
Arguing with each other. I'm just showing people you can do a turnaround.
Right,
sure.
Yeah.
People will criticise you for changing your opinions, but, you know, I think I'm right now. I think that those Paddington films are magical and wonderful. And I also think I was right to initially think the bear was shifty and creepy.
You've done what everyone does is you've come out and apologised for your behaviour and then you put a caveat right on the end of
yes,
it.
Yes, that's what I've done. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. But I'm very happy to hear that the sandwiches taste as good.
Yeah, they were lovely. And we all got, and as a gift, we all got given a jar of the marmalade to take home.
Oh,
it's very, it was very tangy.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I've been looking for in a marmalade without realising it for so long. It was a very tangy malade.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a nice thoughtful gift though for everybody, isn't
oh,
it?
Oh yeah, lovely. And it had a little sort of false label like by Paddington printed, so I didn't believe it was him.
Sure. I think Tom Davis. It really makes me laugh. Imagine Tom Davis walking home with a jar of marmalade for some reason. don't know what that's a funny image. Don't know Tom Davis, just Google him. It's
he'd
funny.
Be chuffed with it as well, wouldn't he?
Yeah,
he'd be really happy with it. He'd be really happy with it. Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah. So really lovely about it.
It's marmalade's a credit to the maker, I'll tell you that. All that sort of stuff. Oh, that man knows his way around catering. My God.
Yeah.
He always puts a nice, I mean, the shout out to Tom Davis, loveliest man in the world.
Yeah.
Always gets a big fat bit of bread to put everything on top of.
Yeah.
So it takes in the whole meal.
Clever.
Yeah. At the end, all the flavours are just sitting in
there.
There
should be a name for that, like a moist maker, but not.
Yeah. Oh, right. I guess it is a moist maker to an extent.
In a way, but it should have Tom Davis's name in it somewhere. Any suggestions? I'm doing loads of tweeting us in. I never do this.
Yeah.
I'm coming across like a
inundated.
Like, tweet us in, guys. Any suggestions?
This is a very specific request as well. If Tom Davis was to make a piece of bread that soaked up catering food, what would it be called?
Yeah. What should it be called?
A Juicy Tom.
All right, yeah, we got it. No tweets necessary.
Don't tweet. Please don't tweet us. It's a Juicy Tom.
Called a Juicy Tom.
Yeah.
What is your side dish? We'll come to the side now.
Oh, right, yeah. Hang on. Let's have a recap.
You've done something clever in that I think your main dish is almost made up.
I think I can't really have extra. But if I was to dream big, I've been eating... I've been trying to find a place to slip this in, so I guess it is the side. Since I was about... I've been having to my parents started working evenings when I was about 11, so yeah. I had to start cooking for myself around then, and it would just be pot noodle every night, and I got sick of it after about 2 months, so I started trying to cook. And my dad's a chef, so I'd sort of ask him for advice every now and again.
Yeah.
And the first thing he taught me how to make was a basic salad, and I think that was on my mum's request, just like, if he's going to make it something good.
Yeah.
And it was just get a head of lettuce, chop it up, and put olive oil, lemon, and salt on it.
Yeah.
And I've probably had that or a variant of that every day for about 20 years.
Wow.
It is that, because it's like a free meal. Do you know what I mean? As in, like, you can have it and you can have your whole, it's like, that's just eating water essentially.
Yeah.
Water. So you can have that and you can have a whole thing, and it's a big, you can have a massive bowl of it, and it is so nice.
Refreshing.
Yeah. Once it took me about a year to get the levels right. Uh-huh. And over the years, I'll sort of chuck in a little thing to spice it up and every now and again. I've really got into yuzu. Have you ever yuzu?
Yeah.
It's like a cross between a lemon and an orange, and it's really fucking nice.
Yeah.
Get a little bottle of that, a little bit of that on it, and maybe a bit of soy sauce in there as well, mm-hmm. instead of replacing the salt.
Yeah.
That's taking you home. And some sesame oil instead of olive. Sorry, I'm just salivating now.
That's good. You've thought about the balance of the meal as well. I think that's very impressive.
And does that salad have a name? Did your dad?
No, but feel free to put a flag in it.
Tweet us in with the name.
I'd like you two to tweet at me.
Yeah. We'll tweet you after this
with the name of
your dad's,
the salad.
Your dad's side salad.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Drink.
Oh, actually, that's a very neat seg. I had there's a place called Jaidori near me, which actually does a very good katsu curry, and they do a yuzu ginger beer, which is where I discovered yuzu.
Ah.
And I was like, ooh, pop this in a salad, please. Can I take that home and pour it on my salad? I really like ginger beer generally, and this just gives it a citrusy situation about it, which I can't deny. And so, that was lovely.
So I think I went too hard on... There was one Edinburgh festival...
Yeah.
What's the main?
Is this going to be the most?
Krabby's, yeah.
Alcoholic ginger beer. I thought this was about to be the most whimsical James Acaster story ever, where you're like, one festival, I went too hard on ginger beer.
Yeah. Well, actually, that is what.
Yeah, but it's alcoholic ginger beer.
Think I had the same fringe as you. Yeah. I went mad on it, and it burnt my body.
Because there was
open.
Buses that were.
Yeah.
So you could walk into a bus, and it was just like selling loads of crap. I was giving away crappies.
Yeah.
And so, like, I loved it. Drank it all month. And
it's the sweetest alcoholic drink available. Completely. It's unbelievable.
And right at the end of the month, Rob Deering said to me, "Don't you just think it tastes like washing up liquid?" and it was like he'd hypnotized me. Because all I could taste when I drank it was washing up. It was like I was drinking washing up liquid.
Yeah.
And I hated it, and I can't drink it anymore. So I kind of don't really drink much ginger beer now because of like that.
Oh, it's put you off ginger beer?
It really, what kind of fancy ginger beers, I think. I'll go kind of safe and do a ginger ale or something, but I don't really,
What's the difference?
Ginger ale seems a bit flatter to me.
Ginger ale's like...
Is that because I feel like whenever I say, can I get a ginger beer, and they go, ginger ale or ginger beer, I'm like, yep.
Yeah, sure.
Ginger ale's like lighter, isn't it? And
yeah.
It's just sort of less, almost less gingery. It's not, it doesn't feel spicy when you have ginger
just
ale.
Just the sort of sugar water.
Yeah, you wouldn't get
fiery ginger ale.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. I've learned.
Yeah, that Krabby's fringe was a very. I kind of feel like it ruined that fringe.
Yeah. A lot of us went all in on Krabby's, and it was a bit of a whirlwind.
Paint a picture of him where he told you. I'm picturing that scene in A Star Is Born where her manager tells him that he's ruined her life.
Right. Yeah. We were at a gig. It was in the Gilded Balloon, I know that, but it wasn't late in life. It was like a gig where like we all just go on and do a little spot promoting our shows, and like we're just sitting on the side of the audience could see us all. We were sitting on the side of the stage.
You were just surrounded by empty Krabby's bottles.
Yeah. I'm like, Darren, have you tried Krabby's? I drink it all the time now. It's absolutely brilliant. I mean, it tastes like washing up liquid. I was like, oh no.
Ruined your set. Oh, you went out and just stared. Like, 1,000-yard stare to the audience.
Yeah.
Do you think that's because it does taste like washing up liquid, or do you think you just really trust Rob Deering's opinion?
I do trust Rob Deering's opinion, that's for sure. Especially when it comes to food and stuff.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, because he's really had to. He loves food, but he's also a really healthy guy. He's very, very good at like picking what he eats and where he eats it from. So he's very, and then so that stuff is like, I'm not bothering with it unless it's like worth it.
Yeah,
with Krabby's, is like, that is not worth it. Right, that is not worth it for Rob Deering. And as soon as he told me that. Because I think that's why he's good at pinpointing the reason why he doesn't like it.
Yeah,
sure.
Washing up liquid.
Right. I had that moment with coriander, but it didn't affect me. As in, someone told me that it to take, because it's like 1 in 10 people it tastes like
soap. Yeah.
Soap.
Yes.
To them, I've heard you two rag on coriander, and I was worried that it would have a return as the word you can't, the food you can't say.
Yeah,
because
don't worry.
I'm ready to talk about it all the time. I will buy a bag of coriander and eat it as a snack on the way home.
Wow.
From a supermarket. Madness. It's really weird.
Yeah, that's really weird.
Little garden elf.
Yeah, I buy it in those little soil punnets as well.
Just slinging soil all over the bus.
She lets me not. Yeah. but yeah, I'm really into it. But then I've got a friend called Joe Hampson who is like, that stuff is, and I was like, oh no, and I tasted it, and I was like, I sort of see what you mean, but I still am absolutely going to.
It's the same with I think cucumber, like 1 in 10 people can like smell something in it.
Really?
Yeah. There's some like chemical in cucumber that they can smell.
It's like the asparagus thing with your wee.
Yeah, no, but that's a fact. That's full.
Well, it's not 1 in 10 people.
Yeah, right? Not everyone can smell asparagus in their wee.
That's not true.
That's true. Benito's nodding.
But is it that they can't smell it, or that? Oh, it's like a 3-part theory, isn't it? It's like there are some people who do it and it stinks and they can't smell it. There are some people who don't do it at all, and there are some people who do it and can smell it. It's not an interesting theory, is it?
That's a good theory.
I got to 2 and I was like, I can't believe there's a third.
I've got to get to number 3.
I felt like I was in a pitch meeting. I felt like I was getting a whole sitcom, a new movie being pitched me. There's 3 main characters.
Act one.
3 guys. One of them, he smells. Well, his piss smells when he's asparagus, and he can smell it.
Oh, well, I can. I'm the third character.
Oh, really? I can smell it. It ruins it. It ruins a wee for me.
You can smell it.
Yeah.
Someone pitching it in Dragon's Den, and then they're like, I don't understand what you're pitching me. And they're like, to be fair, I don't either.
Yeah. I think it's a good idea.
I think, what's a good idea?
Statistically, one of you dragons.
Right, put your hand up.
Yeah. But yeah, I think I don't eat asparagus that much as a result, but I would say cucumber is probably my most frequently bought food.
Okay.
I love a cucumber.
Would you eat one of those on the bus on the way home as well?
No, just because the japes of having a big cucumber like waggling around.
People start shouting at you.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're eating coriander on the bus, people leave you
alone. Well, people make
coriander, leave him alone.
Leave that guy alone. Yeah.
No jokes to be had there.
They're just little clovers. He's hoping for some good luck today.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah, that's right.
That's what people audibly say all the time to
me. Hoping for some good luck.
Just wink at me all the time. Go, oh, I hope you get it, mate. I know what they mean by it.
We've come to the dessert.
Well,
My favourite course. You two are starter boys, but everyone knows I'm a dessert boy.
The beauty of a dessert is that you just can't believe there's more room.
Uh-huh.
And then it comes along, and you're just, there's something in you, isn't there? It's like you honestly, mate.
It's a lot. Yeah.
Reach inside of yourself.
It's a hard one as well. I think that my sort of staple thing that I can access frequently is a banoffee pie. Love a banoffee pie. But I think the best pudding I've ever eaten, I've had once, and it's not reflective of how much I loved the whole dinner there. But have you ever been to Heston's Dinner?
No, I've still never been.
Heston's Dinner.
It's his restaurant in London. Mm. And my main I actually didn't like at all. My starter was incredible.
Yeah.
It's the thing called meat fruit. Have you heard of that?
Yes,
it's a
heard
pate
of that.
In the shape. It looks like a clementine.
Right.
And you could, it is like, you believe it was a clementine, right, and it's the nicest pate you've ever eaten.
Okay.
But the pudding is a thing called a tipsy cake. Oh. And it's a brioche that's been baked. And on the side, there's spit-roasted pineapple.
Mm.
And the brioche has, I don't know what it has at the bottom of it. It's like a creme anglaise or like, or just the bottom of the brioche has been caramelized.
Yeah.
And I said to the guy, what's the best pudding? And I think I got as far as the and he was like, go to the Tipsy Cake. It's objectively the nicest pudding you're ever going to eat. And he was completely right.
Does it have booze in it?
If it does, I don't know. And I wouldn't think it does because I'm not a boozy pudding guy. And just the words boozy pudding fill me with dread.
Yeah.
It just reminds me of a TV chef's judging someone's food and loving that.
There's all those booze in it, yeah.
I mean, like, there are two things you can do on like MasterChef that will guarantee you love. And that's just fill it with alcohol or fill it with chilies.
Yeah.
But it's like, anyone can do that. It's not hard. Oh, you've got some real chili heat in there. How have you done that? It's like, put chili in it.
Put loads
of chili in it. And it's like, oh, that is very boozy. Very nice. It's like, yeah, because I put loads of booze in it.
You're sitting around all day really bored when it's really our food. You'd love it.
Yeah.
But yeah, a boozy pud to me doesn't fill me with joy. But this Tipsy Cake is... It really is. I'm not really painting, but the spit roasted pineapple, just lovely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't really paint the picture of it. It just was weirdly, I was just surprised by how nice it was.
And there's nothing else with it? Yeah, have ice cream with it? No custard?
I would actually.
Ah.
Do you know what? I'd get a sort of flecked vanilla custard. I'd pop along with that. With the real vanilla pods, as I've heard you two. Take those very seriously.
Yeah, we'll wave that flag again.
But I also am not a big Heston man. Uh-huh. I think that the good thing about it was that there was nothing cheeky about it. I don't want a cheeky dinner. I mean, I suppose the meat fruit is a cheeky.
Yeah, that's cheeky. Thing. Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, but I kind of like he'd filled his cheeky quota for the dinner with that, and I was like, I just want everything else to be a straight.
Yeah, you don't want to get to the end of the meal and then they're like, and you can eat your napkin.
Yeah. I'd be like, I'm full.
Yeah, I'm full. Yeah,
but like, do you remember that? I think one of the last they really sort of. Like pulled everything out of them they could for all his programs and stuff.
Yeah.
The last one made no sense. It was like, it was sort of like, I'm going to create food that creates nostalgia. And then you've got like a guy and it's like in next week's episode. And there's a guy like playing pool and like biting the pool table and being like, it tastes exactly like bacon. It's like, what is that? What is it evoking for you?
Yeah, the time you ate a pool table.
Yeah. It's like, wow, this house tastes exactly like my mum's lasagna.
There was an episode, and I've definitely spoken about this on other things before, maybe even on this show, but I'll happily tell this over and over again because it's my happiest memory, and it's just on a TV show. Right. And it was Heston Blumenthal making a big Christmas meal for a load of celebs. And the dessert, he'd made a ski resort kind of like scene, but it filled the whole table.
Yeah.
So the whole table was like these snowy hills, and it was all edible.
Right.
And the mountains were made of, it was baked Alaska, essentially.
Right. Yeah.
And it was this like blackcurrant, like meringue full of blackcurrant ice cream. And there was a shot of the rugby player Matt Dawson biting into the side of one of these mountains and the ice cream poured out. And I think about it at least once a week. It looked so delicious when he bit into it and it all just came apart beautifully. And I was like, oh my God, I want to eat that so much.
I think I saw that and I think it did look unbelievable, yeah.
Yeah.
But it doesn't make sense though.
No.
It's like, sure. I'm going to do something for people they've always wanted. Yeah. Finally, a table of winter.
Yeah.
Like, and eaten that, and you're going to see it eaten by a rugby player.
Yeah, yeah. The rugby player eats it.
It's a perfect storm.
He then tried to reframe himself. I love Heston Blumenthal and I'd really like to go to dinner, but he tried to reframe. Good. I've got one of his cookbooks, which is like Heston at Home, which is supposed to be stuff you can do at home. Right. It is impossible to do any of it at home. It requires ingredients that no one has.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I remember he did like things like making the perfect steak, and you would watch that and go, oh, this will show me how to do the perfect steak at home. And then it cut to a clip of him in the car park of his restaurant with a massive like flamethrower doing the side of it. You're like, no, that is not the perfect steak. The perfect steak is being able to do it in your own kitchen, surely.
Yeah, that's like cooking with Coolio.
Oh, well, where he did the turkey.
Did the turkey on the roof.
Oh, I haven't seen
that. So it's a YouTube series called Cooking with Coolio, which is exactly what you think it is. And Coolio really likes cooking now. He's released cookbooks himself and stuff like that. There's a chapter in one of his cookbooks called Salad Eating Bitches. And when he's making the Thanksgiving dinner, him and his friends go up on the roof of their building and they deep fry the turkey while jumping around making excited noises because they're really looking forward to eating it. Yeah. But like, he's going, we can't do that.
Yeah.
Like, I've got enough space to do it because he goes, we've got to go on the roof because it just spits everywhere when you deep fry a turkey. You've got to get fries that are big enough. And he's like, well, That's it.
Thank you. That's a Muppets Christmas Carol image, isn't it? They cook a goose on the roof.
Do they?
On the chimney. Is that right?
It's over the fire. And then
it's in the fire. No, it's not on the roof. Yeah, yeah. And then he falls
down the chimney. Is dancing on top of it.
Yeah, mixed my images. And I've just sort of raised the goose.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I often do when I'm trying to remember goose-based stuff.
That should be a phrase, isn't it?
Yeah, I've raised the goose.
He's raised the goose, then.
But it always has to be used literally.
Yeah. When you've actually raised a goose, can you actually say that? So, Jamie. Now, here we go. You would like some sparkling water.
Thank you.
First of all. And then the bread you would like is that potato bread from...
Pigeon.
You would like some pickles from Katz's Deli.
Yes, please.
And then from the place in LA...
Pine and Crane.
You would like dando noodles, pea shoots, pot stickers, aubergine. Your side, you would like, made by your own hand, lettuce, oil, lemon and salt. You would like
that. That doesn't sound nice, does it?
No, I see why you've done it.
The homemade Dimitri salad. That's
yes,
fine.
Please. Yeah.
Yuzu ginger beer. Where's that from?
Yuzu.
Oh, Jidori.
Yuzu ginger beer.
Saying all these restaurants so clearly.
And tipsy cake from The Dinner.
A Dinner by Heston, I think it's called.
I think that's a great... I mean, that's definitely a meal that I would eat.
Yes,
that
that's a cracking meal.
I'm a huge fan of the cast, so that feels great.
Thank you.
And it's all completely taken away from the heart attack I had at the beginning from poppadoms and bread.
Yeah.
There's no poppadoms and bread.
Oh,
no.
I mean, maybe one day someone will.
Someone might do that.
Oh, yeah. Would I have been allowed?
You'll never know now.
You'll never know.
Bandersnatch, baby.
That is the mildest approach to Bandersnatch.
Bandersnatch.
I love that now, just making choices in general, you can just... Oh, Bandersnatch.
You just got Bandersnatch, David.
But like Bandersnatch, you can go back, so I'll have poppadoms and bread, please.
Whoa!
Yeah.
He did it. Bandersnatched us. We got Bandersnatched, all right? Bandersnatch.
Yum, yum, yum. Please may I get down from the table. What a delicious podcast.
That was a delicious meal. I haven't tried any of the stuff that he said, but I want to.
That's what's exciting.
Yeah, I want to go to all those places and eat that. That sounded very, very nice.
We should go to dinner.
Apart from the pickles, I've had the pickles.
We should go to Dinner by Heston.
Yeah, we should go there. We should go to that other place he mentioned that was like the Katz's, but in London.
Yeah, we should definitely do that. I'm going to go to all the places. It was that was a great episode. Jamie was great. Delicious food.
Did not mention marzipan.
Did not. The key point being, is he did not mention marzipan. Yeah,
fair enough. As we said earlier, Stafflet's Flats is on
All Four. It's called now.
4OD.
It was 4OD, now it's called All Four.
All Fours?
No, it's not called All Fours. Stafflet's Flats is not on All Fours.
Right, okay.
It's doing very well. It's on All Four. So you can watch it on All Four.
Well, okay.
But more importantly than that, you're listening to this podcast. If you're not subscribed to it, what the hell are you playing at?
Yeah, do us a favour.
Just subscribe to it. Come on, it really helps our numbers. Give it a little 5-star review. You don't even have to write anything. Just hit 5 stars. And if you do like want to write something, please do.
Give it a rosette.
Can they do that, Benito? No, we don't know how to give it a rosette, but if you work out a way, don't forget to tweet Oscar James with suggestions of great Chinese restaurants in London.
Yep. I want to know all the best Chinese and Taiwanese restaurants in London, please. Tweet that at me. And also any other names for the Tom Davis moist maker.
The Juicy Tom.
the Juicy Tom.
Come see me on tour. I'm all over the place. Check out edgamble.co.uk for dates. Go and see James on tour.
Yep. If you want to.
I mean, James doesn't seem on board with that, so you don't have to come. If you only buy one ticket this year, make it for me.
Go and see Ed.
Thank you very much for listening. Keep on listening. We'll see you next week with another Off Menu podcast. Yummy, yummy, yummy.
Goodbye. Yummy, yummy, yummy.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell. If you enjoy, there's another podcast just coming out. Oh no, the podcast is out now.
Yeah. If people have enjoyed Off Menu, will they enjoy Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains? I don't know.
There's a bit of crossover. We talk about maybe a couple of food issues. We talk about cutlery, and that's near food. We reckon it's out now. Not soon, it's now.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. If you like James and if you love Ed, you might get a kick out of this. But yeah, again, no pressure. But yeah, this one is coming. This one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.